Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
Jennifer Kopasz-Rose.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for the needlework artists. Yes, Jennifer still exists.
I am. I'm still here.
She's alive and well.
Yes, I was in Colorado for 3 weeks visiting my family. And before that, I had secret stitching and I was working on it. I couldn't post anything. It's like you can't post secret stuff.
Right.
So there was no posting for about a week or two before I even left town.
Yep. So.
But I'm still here.
Which
and then
is
when
good.
I was out of town, I was so busy that like I hardly looked at any social media. I hardly posted any pictures.
Yeah, anybody that follows you can tell when you came home. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All of a sudden it's like, whoa.
Yep. So. Yep. Well, good to have you back. You had a good trip.
Yes.
Got to see your family. Spend time with your mom. So all of that's good. Yeah.
Yep. My mom, my dad, my brother got to see their new house that they built in Steamboat.
Oh, great.
It's very nice.
Good for you. Well, welcome back to the real world.
Yes. Why, thank you.
All right. Tonight is Thread Talk with Kathy Ray. So join us 8 o'clock on the Stitch Hour, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. We're going to talk about threads with Kathy. And now this weekend and next Wednesday are the 1-2 Punch with Cindy Gershon. So Sunday's podcast is, now Cindy is a judge. She's an EGA judge, and she's also a needlework appraiser. So a tremendous conversation with her about judging and what to look for and what they look for, how it works, all focused on helping you improve your stitching. So a really good, really enjoyed. She was fantastic. So a good podcast on Sunday that will lay the foundation. And then Wednesday, Cindy will be with us live. And we'll have a bunch of photos so that she can talk about things she sees in these and how to fix them, what's wrong with them, so on and so forth. And so she will be here Wednesday, a week from Wednesday, a week from tonight. And then you as an audience will be able to ask questions. So bring your questions and join us on Wednesday night. But really helpful if you listen to that podcast ahead of time, because you will pick up lots of tips. So
that's going to be so interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited. The podcast alone was good. She's really good.
Nice. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah, yeah. So that's tonight, Thread Talk with Kathy. Don't miss that. Mm-hmm. Those have been good. And if you missed previous ones, go back, because you will learn things.
I think I saw the last one.
Yeah.
It was the one where she did all the little black stuff, right?
Mm.
She did all the little samples of stitches with the black thread? Or did I miss one more?
I think you missed one.
Oh, dear. I'm going to have to go through.
If you're looking for the live shows, if you go to YouTube, they're not always obvious. And so look up at the top where there's a little menu, and you'll find live shows. And that's where all the live shows are at. They're not really obvious, and I have not been very successful at getting them obvious. So I'm sure there are people who know how to work YouTube six ways to Sunday. I'm not one of them. and to take a day to learn, I don't have it. So, but just look under live shows and you'll see them. And so all of Kathy's are there. And to start with the first one, I think there have been three, I think, and go through, you will learn an awful lot about threads and more tonight. So, yes.
Nice.
Good stuff there. So between Kathy and Cindy Gershon, you'll be a better stitcher by next Wednesday.
Woohoo. Sounds good.
Think about that. Mm-hmm. Now, a week from Friday, July 30, is World Embroidery Day.
Yeah.
And so from 2 to 5, Jennifer, Beth, and I will be doing a live show on the YouTube channel. And we're just going to do stitch and chat. We're not going to have formal presentations or anything. We're just going to have stitching and we're going to be talking. But we're going to have a designer guest each hour. So Natalie Dupuy will be with us, Kathy Andrews from The Unbroken Thread, and then a third person who I'm waiting to hear from. A couple people, you know, the pandemic is breaking up a little bit, kind of, sort of. And so people are, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I'm going to be gone.
Right.
We're traveling. So So waiting on this person, and then we'll have a designer each hour and talk about them, get to see what they're working on, and then I've encouraged them to just stitch along with us, have something to stitch. And
oh, cool.
Like, for instance, Kathy Andrews said, well, that afternoon, she's just working in her studio, so it's perfect for her. So,
cool.
So join us 2:00 Eastern time on the YouTube channel. Come for some, all, it doesn't matter. We're just going to be stitching and chatting and just having a good time, all in the honor of World Embroidery Day. So,
very nice.
Yes, that'll be fun. And my studio got finished the other day. All the pieces are done. So now I can actually get real stitching out and
nice.
Do it.
So no more setting up and taking down and
nope.
It's all just permanent.
Yep. Yep.
Awesome.
All
that
set
is so
up.
Great. It's awesome. Yay.
Not only is it all set up and can I work at whatever I want, but I have extra room.
Yeah.
I'm not crowded at all. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. Are you much more, you feel much more relaxed and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, it's just, there's room. There's plenty of room. I've worked hard to keep the center of the room open so that I don't feel boxed in. I have plenty of storage, so I don't have stuff sitting on tables piled up. I'm keeping the tables empty. And it's worked out really well. I got, I'll do a video of it, but I got, I put track lighting over my big work table where I keep all the working stuff. So I put track lighting over that so that now, the light behind me from the ceiling isn't causing a shadow. I have light in the front and it's track lighting so I can aim them however I want them. And so that table now is extremely well lit. Probably too much. I put a dimmer switch on just because. I'm not going to work in shadows anymore. I have plenty of surface area, and yeah, I'm really, really pleased with it. It's really worked out great. So yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Yay. Yep.
Very good.
I may never be seen again.
Yeah, just live in the room.
That's right. That's right. So that, that's been good progress. Yep. Part of the moving in process, and before we started, we were talking about moving in, and Mark and I, right now, it's been 6 weeks, and we don't have any boxes that need to be unpacked. Everything is unpacked.
That is great. Congratulations, because that is a feat. Most people, years later, I still haven't unpacked that box.
Nope. No, everything is unpacked, and everything we wanted to do in the house, either us or have someone do, that's all been done.
That's awesome.
So everything is the way we envisioned it when we walked in.
Yeah, you can just really relax and just live now.
Best part of all this, when I'm working on the magazine during the day and want a mental break from it, I just turn the chair around, slide it about 3 feet across the room, and there's the stitching.
Oh my goodness. That is so nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's the best part. Yep.
Yep. Oh my goodness.
Edit an article. All right, I need a mental break before I go through it again. 15 minutes of stitching, 3 feet away. Yep.
That's great.
Can't beat it. So,
yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yep. So 30th, July 30th.
Now you've got the life.
July 30, World Embroidery Day. Join us at 2:00. And then also we announced last week now, we're going to be at the EGA seminar in September.
Yeah.
We'll be there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So we're leaving Sunday morning. So we'll get there Wednesday night and Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and we're leaving Sunday morning. And right now, for sure, we'll have a live show each of those 3 days from the seminar, and then putting together things so we can do some interviews. We'll do a tour of the exhibition, which I have a feeling is going to take more than one tour. So the message is go to our YouTube channel, go to our Instagram channel, and subscribe.
Right.
That way you'll be informed when we do things. The live shows will be a consistent time. It'll probably be 8:00 Eastern time in the evening. They'll be consistent. And that depends on the facilities and our access to them and so on and so forth. Those you'll know about. But all the other stuff we put up, if you subscribe, then you'll get notification that we've posted something. So go subscribe so you don't miss out, because you know only so many people get to go to the seminar, and the rest of us don't. So our job is to help you experience the seminar as much as possible through our eyes and cameras. And so this is a real opportunity to see what goes on, and who knows, maybe it'll get you charged up to go to one yourself. But yeah, so we'll be there.
Yes, that way, if you don't know what to expect, you know, you can get an idea and be like, oh, that looks fun. Okay.
Right. And new for Jennifer and me, Beth is our veteran. So.
Oh. She's been to one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, she's been to one. She's our veteran. No pressure, Beth.
Yeah.
So that's coming up the first September 1, you know, the days before Labor Day weekend. So put that on your calendar and subscribe. I mean, it's really the best way is if you just simply subscribe, then you get the notifications when we go live. You get the notifications when we put up videos, and that will help you experience the seminar as the days go by. So do that. We're gonna have fun with that. Yeah.
I know. I'm curious to see.
Yes.
Yeah, I just, you know, I have no idea what to expect, so it'll be fun.
I wanna see the exhibition. That to me.
Yeah. Definitely.
I think so.
Definitely.
So,
'cause that's where everybody sends. Is that the one where everybody sends in their stuff?
It's my understanding. I haven't done the research yet, but yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like they call it the Magnificent. No, the Magnificent Stitch is what the event is called.
Right. That's what the event's called. Yeah.
What did they call it? It had a name.
It did.
The Golden Stitch?
I don't remember. Haven't done that research yet, but. I just
forgot, that's all.
Just getting it lined up so we can actually do it is huge step number one. So,
yeah.
I appreciate it. You know, the EGA sponsors a show every month, and they've been supportive of us. And, of course, the reverse, you know, we have supported them. But do check out the EGA in terms of membership, whether you join a local chapter, a member at large, that's what I am, whatever it is you do. Check it out, because they are, in terms of associations like that, I really think they're doing it well.
Right. And don't they have that Cyber Stitcher chapter or something?
Yeah, we had.
So I talked to a lady that at that needlework, the Celebrations of Needlework in Nashua.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, because I had mentioned I was on Fiber Talk, whatever. And she's like, oh, we got so many signups after that interview.
Oh, good.
So I was like, oh, cool. I don't think I remembered to tell you until
right now. No, you didn't. No. Well, that's great.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's another way. There's several ways you can be a member of the EGA. Do it. Do it today. I'm telling you, it's worth your money. You'll get just the free stuff. You'll get more out of it than your more value than what you pay. Guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I shouldn't say guaranteed because I'm not covering any costs, but so do that, and then we'll be there for the seminar. Yay!
Yes, I know.
Also, if you are interested in painted canvas, needlepoint painted canvas, go to the YouTube channel and check out the show Beth and I did this past Friday. Because we had a great time. Ended up being, almost an hour and a half.
I know, I saw that.
We had a great time just talking about our two canvases and what we might or might not do. And mm-hmm. had a lot of audience interaction. It was so fun. You know, this was what impressed me several days after.
Mm-hmm.
Is I have these birds, these rainbow birds, Laurel Birch design, okay?
Yep.
And in that design are some leaves, tropical plant leaves that mm-hmm. are green. Now, I have red green color blindness, and I can tell forest green from orange. You know that. but you get into shades and stuff, I'm in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of ladies were watching and said, because we were talking about how to stitch those leaves, you know, DMC this, and this. And so I went over and I pulled those out, flopped them down on the canvas. By golly, right there. Yep.
Nice.
They solved my leaf color
awesome.
Problems. Yeah.
Great.
But I'm impressed. I'm impressed because, you know, all the things that happen between my canvas on the table and somebody seeing it on their screen.
Mm-hmm.
And by golly, they got it. And so I took a picture of the colors and made notes, and the leaf colors are good. And those are making me nervous because of the green. I struggle with green. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And, no, that's great. Yeah.
So it was a fun show. It really was fun.
Mm-hmm.
So check that out.
Awesome.
Yep. Now, you posted a picture of a gift you made for your mother, and I'm applauding you.
Because thank you. Which one?
Well, it was the little Liberty pillow thing with the ruched ribbon that you had in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And a simple little design. You know, it's not like you broke new ground with the design. But the whole thing just came together really well. The way you finished it and you had it sitting in that little box. And I thought, boy, your mother must have really appreciated that gift.
Oh, she loved it. Loved it. And everybody else in the family's like, oh, my gosh, you stitched that? Because it's tiny.
Yeah.
It's 2 inches and it's 1/1. And they're like, my brother and his wife are like, how on earth did you stitch that? I was like, magnifying glass. And they're like, I bet. Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
So, yeah.
No, that's really good. And it just, the presentation was just really well done. So that little wooden box, was that just something you picked up at a thrift shop or something?
No, remember when I went to the Celebrations of Needleworks, I had bought from Joseph's workshop.
That's one of those?
Yes.
Oh.
But the pattern that came with it was like a simple American flag with some writing.
Uh-huh.
And they had sent, also in there was Krynek. And you're supposed to like cross stitch and do stuff with Krynek. And it was driving me insane. It would not look good. I tried a million different ways. I tried blending, like I tried lots of stuff. And then I just decided I didn't like the whole thing altogether. I was like, that's not my mom. That's too, eh.
Yeah.
So I decided to go through and I followed this, this one lady on Instagram, and she has a blog on that blog spot, Pinker and Punkin Quilting, and she does tons of little freebie charts. She does a blog post once or twice a week and does these cute little freebie charts, and that's her freebie chart.
Oh, okay.
And so I had been seeing her cute stuff, and I was like, oh, I wonder if one of those would fit, and I looked through and I saw that, because, you know, my mom's born on the 4th, so...
Yeah.
Of course, everything she gets is, well, not everything, but you know.
It's red, white, and blue.
She
needed
some 4th of July stuff, right? So.
Okay, so, yeah, well, all right, so let's back up. So the box comes, it's Joseph's Workshop.
Right.
Is that an Etsy store or a website?
No, he has a website. Joseph's Workshop. And that's where, you know, those little, I also got her some of those little wooden needle minders. The laser cut wood needle miners that don't weigh anything. So
I remember,
they don't drag your linen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got those from there too.
Okay. So Joseph's Workshop. So that's something that people want to look for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I just did something. That's the linen that came with it, the blue.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found her design, and then I just picked my own colors. The blue and the red and the white are what came in the kit. And then the other colors I just picked, and I don't know what they are. I just went through my box and found what would work.
Yeah, make them up. So, and now who is this person that did the design?
Pinker N, and the letter N, Punkin Quilting. I did her little, on my Instagram.
Pinker N Punkin Quilting. Quilting, okay.
Yeah. So all I did her little at symbol, you know, her little Instagram link. Melissa, it says. Her name's Melissa. Because I just clicked over to her page.
All right. So. Okay, so there's the two. So if you follow Jennifer, She has pictures up, and she'll send me a picture that I can put with this show.
Right.
So you'll be able to see. And so if you're interested in Joseph's workshop and then Pinker and Punkin quilting.
Quilting, yeah.
Which, of course...
She does quilting, too.
Really?
She does quilting, and she does these little cross-stitch designs. Cute stuff.
Yeah.
She does cute stuff. It's very Americana-y, very primitive, simple,
okay,
but cute.
Well,
Simple, but cute.
It worked out great. It's a really nice piece that you did.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Yep, I made it into a little pillow. So then the little pillow, the box is 2 inches on the inside. I forgot to take into account that when you sew and stuff something, it's going to make it smaller.
Oh.
Even though you measure to make it the right size. So I was like, oh, it's not really fitting in the box. So then I went through and looked through my ribbon and decided to ruche up the ribbon and sew it on to make it fill the box properly.
Oh, okay.
And then it's super cute. I mean, yeah. So.
Yep. No, it's a good one. A good one. And it's,
thanks.
It's, I mean, over one, you made it more of a project, but even it's gift size. So if you do it, even if you do it mm-hmm. over two, it's a nice little gift that doesn't take you months.
Right. No, yeah. It didn't take long, but you know, I couldn't, cause my mom follows my Instagram, so I couldn't post any pictures.
Yeah.
Cause she'd be like, what's that cute thing you're making? Or she'd get it in her mind, you know, she'd figure it out. So I couldn't post it.
Yep. Yep.
So.
Well, good move. You win.
Why, thank you.
Yep.
Yes, now, it is adorable.
Your mother was stitching at some point. Does she still stitch?
She does, off and on. She's not hardcore like me.
Oh, okay.
She, when we were younger, she used to, like, make all our clothes, and she made a lot of our doll clothes for Christmas, and she did a lot of crocheting. She made a lot of stuff because we were, you know, on a teacher salary with 3 kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, she made, but she made stuff that was amazing. I mean, really awesome. So... she did a lot back then, but as we've gotten older, and then she went to work, and then she just didn't, she got out of the habit of doing it, you know?
Yeah.
So she's done some. I've got her back into doing some, but it comes and goes.
Okay.
Then this last year with my brother building his house, she had to go up to Steamboat a lot because she had to watch Fisher while they were building the house so that he wouldn't be in the way because he's little. So.
Yeah. Okay, well,
you know,
maybe we should do a show with her. I think it'd be fun.
I know. We were pretty busy on this trip, though.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah. So, well, someday we'll get her on.
We did a lot of visiting, a lot of driving. It's 5 hours to Steamboat and back, you know. So. Yeah.
Yep. Sunday's guest, Melinda Sherbring, this past Sunday. If you missed it, go listen to it. Yes.
She's the one that is into like all of the, she called it anachronistic.
Yeah. Society for Creative Anachronism. Creative. Yes.
That's what it is. And like Marion Zimmer Bradley, I was like, what? She's like a sci-fi writer. And
yeah.
I was totally like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
it was a
fun conversation, and I mean, she's just a fascinating lady. I mean, she worked mm-hmm. on the Hubble telescope, like literally.
I know, right?
Wrote programming for the Hubble telescope. Yeah, she wasn't just there to cheer him on. I mean, she was involved in the guts of it. But a fascinating, talented lady, has a couple of classes available at EGA, but we talked about her doing research on old needlework and mm-hmm. going to these old museums like the V&A in England and so on and so forth, and that experience of sitting there all day studying these ancient pieces of needlework. And for me, it was just, man, I would do that. I would do that in a heartbeat. It would be so fun to sit there. You know, cause, so the question is, would you rather do that kind of looking at old needlework, or would you rather do the tourism kind, where you just walk and look and read a couple plaques?
I think I'd rather have the in-depth, because I get really tired of the tourism kind real quick.
Yeah.
I get worn out. But if it's more in-depth and, like, in person, and maybe the people could talk to you, kind of like a little classroom or something.
Yeah.
That would be more fun.
Yeah, I think so, because I think you would learn, especially if you had someone with you. Yeah, like you said, someone, either a curator at the museum or a needlework friend, and that you could compare and take notes and make drawings and take pictures. I think you'd learn amazing things about ancient needlework that would be, would get your wheels spinning, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And just someone that's more talking. Because just walking by and looking at plaques, that's fun for a little while, and then I get worn out.
Yeah, I just get numb to it.
Exactly. That's what it is. Just like, oh, there's another one cool.
Yeah. Because you can't get, see, for me, that kind of stuff, I mean, in any historic stuff like that, you really can't get close enough to it to study it. And you're always under pressure to move along because somebody's behind
you.
Right. And I don't like that because, all right, I'm really interested in this piece right here. And I want to stay here and study it and look at all sides of it. And I don't want people getting disgusted with me because I don't move along. And I don't care about all those other things, so go around me. But then, you know, how that drives you nuts. You know, people going around you, and you're going to go around. It's okay. I'm fine. You know.
Yeah, because then you can't really focus. You're distracted.
Right. So to go in a back room and they haul out stuff from the archives.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Oh, man.
That would be way more fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be all into that. Yeah, and to have a day. You know, these are the things I want to see. Show up at 9 in the morning, go for a little lunch, come back. Yeah, that would be that would be a treat. Yep.
And, yeah, you need a break so you can think and stuff. Then you have questions, and then you can go back and ask the questions that you didn't really think about because you were so into it, you know?
Right, exactly, yeah. Yeah. And you know, according to Melinda, and others have said this too, but she gave us a real good description about how if you have a plan and you approach it right and do it right, most of them are accommodating. They'll make it possible for you. And how cool is that? Yeah. Yeah. Because you know, a lot of that, I'm sure when it comes to needlework, I bet on display, I bet we, you know, around the world probably don't see 10%.
Yeah. Well, isn't that what Susan Greening Davis does with her little trips she takes?
Yeah, right. Yep, same thing.
She's able, because she, I think, by now has relationships with all of the museums and the places, so she's able to get people in to see stuff. And she does small groups. And you can go give in and go back and see stuff from what she said at the thing.
Oh, and celebrations. Imagine going to one of those with somebody like Susan. Oh, imagine that. Oh,
I know. I think she has an Ireland trip that she might be planning soon. She's talking about it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
You know how we have to wait for the COVID thing.
I know. Yeah.
Because now we have that D variant happening, and who knows? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. I know.
But yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, that's even, but see, you know, that's the other thing, because you say, all right, a tour like that. See, I get turned off when there's a group.
Well, her groups now are like 10 to 15 people, she said. She does small, intimate groups.
Okay,
she used to do bigger groups, she said, like 25 to 30. And she's like, that's just too much to handle.
Well, see, and you...
So she said she does smaller groups now.
Yeah, because you don't get out of it. You know, if there's 20 or 25 people...
That's a lot of people.
You don't get... I don't think I get enough out of it to make it worth the trouble. But if there are 10 people, then to me, that now we're... Because there's always, you know, 3 or 4 people who have all the questions. And that's fine. Ask your questions. I'll listen and learn. But with 25 people, ugh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, okay, so that's more reasonable. But, yeah, somebody knowledgeable like that who can set something up and take you and get you behind the scenes to see that stuff. Oh,
she knows where to go. And...
Right. Yeah. I do it in Ireland. Yep.
Oh, I know.
Yep.
I know. We'll have to see how the money situation works out. Because the hubby was like, I was like, I'd feel guilty going without you. He's like, go. If you have a chance to go to Ireland and see the things you want to see, he's like, go.
Yep.
Don't worry about me.
Yep.
And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. It's like, oh.
Yep. Oh, and there's, yeah, Australia and Ireland, Scotland are two places
that I would, haven't been.
I would, yes, I would spend money, vacation money, to go. The rest of the world, eh, whatever. To me, there's so many things in the U.S. I haven't seen that I'd rather do that. But hours on the plane to Ireland and Scotland or to Australia, I would do that. I would do that because you'd have to stay in your hotel room the entire time to not come home with a million stories and a million experiences. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, and I think she goes, or like, I don't think you just stay in one place. I think you kind of travel around.
Okay, so you get some countryside and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. That's the thing that, oh. You know, I've been to Europe a handful of times for press junkets. And it's always to major cities.
Right.
And like, I've been to London twice. And, you know, sorry people in London, but no thanks.
I haven't been to London. We never got to England when I lived over there because it was so expensive and we didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. But it's, to me, it's if you fly to a major city and get out of that city. So, the last trip I was to Germany, we flew to Frankfurt. Yeah, Frankfurt. And got on buses and drove an hour and a half to a small town, a small river town out in the country. Now, I'd been to German cities two or three times. And, you know, they're cities. I mean, they're old cities with architecture and fine. But when we made that trip... And you got to see the German countryside.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see, now I'm interested.
Yeah, and definitely. Yeah. The countryside is beautiful in Europe. I love it.
And I have a friend who, she and three or four other women rode across New England. A lot of it on the on old Roman roads and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But out in the country.
Right.
And again, you know, she just raved about it because she said they flew to Heathrow and got out of town. And then the countryside is so gorgeous and the pictures, you know, and the whole bit. To me, that's where it's at.
And, yeah.
Because like,
see, well, I'm more of a country girl, too. Yeah. I'm not a big city girl.
Get me out there. And like the Tour de France just ended. And I watch the Tour de France every day.
Oh, I missed it.
I watch it live every day, you know. And you know, I love the cycling racing, the bike racing, all that goes with it. But almost equal is what you get to see of France that you never see.
Yeah.
The little towns, the giant old churches, the countryside. Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah. It's just gorgeous.
And the announcers give little explanations of certain parts. And yeah, I like that part.
And see, that's where, you know, we get, at least I feel like here in the U.S., it's always London, Paris, Berlin, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, the real people in the real country and the beauty is out.
Yeah.
You know, out in the Pyrenees, out, you know, oh man. Yeah. So that's what I would do. I would get out. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you should go with Kim next time she goes to Germany.
Yes.
And see the place that she gets the banding from.
Yes. And... Oh, I'd love to see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yep, that's for me. So yeah, Ireland and Scotland, and I know it rains there a lot. And it's cold. Whatever. I'd still go because, you know, the pictures you see of the countryside, I'm all about it. Yeah.
That's why it's so pretty, is all that rain.
I know. Exactly.
Just take your vitamin D, take your bright light.
Yep. So, yeah. All right. There we have it. That was fascinating. Now, I had one more question for you since we haven't talked. So, this is... All right, when it comes to needlework, okay, what is it for you that improves your needlework? Is it just practice? Is it classes? Is it studying other people's work? What is it for you that makes you better?
probably so far, because I've never taken classes until very recently and stuff. I've just done it in practice. And I didn't know about all this other stuff until recently in social media.
Okay.
I thought, you know, I was a Joanne and Hobby Lobby girl that just found stuff there and just stitched kind of on my own.
Yeah.
And then I take a lot of things that I learned from sewing, you can apply to needlework.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and I did take, I mean, I took quilting classes and you learned stuff there, and that's mostly on machine. And, you know, I did take some hand sewing classes. I took a class on hand piecing and hand quilting. And just knowing about the different, learning about different needles and how different threads work there, you can apply it to needlework. At least that's kind of what I did.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So for you, it's just doing it.
Yeah. Because all of this is all new to me.
Okay.
I recently, you know, with floss tube that I discovered a couple years ago, then I discovered all this other stuff that I didn't know was going on in the world. Like, I had no idea.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Cause yeah. I think, well, for me, it's doing it. I mean, I'm one who tends to, I tend to teach myself just about everything. You know, give me a good book. I'll read it. I'll get it. I'll figure it out. So,
yeah.
So for me, it's doing it in practice and I guess reading about it to start. But, I'm much better off just sitting here with a book with good instructions, piece of cloth and some thread and sorting it out. Now, I've had a couple, three classes and they're helpful. And I think for me, it's the classes are the ones that give you those little extra tricks of the trade.
Yeah. That's where you learn the little things that you're like, oh,
right.
You know?
So you,
and sometimes I realize that I figured out those little tricks on my own. I'm like, oh, I figured that out. You know?
But even like, that validation that what you figured out is legitimate is you know, there's something for that. But to me, that's where, because I can figure out most of the stitches. And you know, you have a troubled one every now and then. So you go to YouTube, go to Mary Corbett, she'll figure it out for you. But yeah, it's the classes I think are interesting. In that you pick up those little tidbits.
Right.
So
people just talking and stuff. Little things come up.
Right.
And or they say something that it clicks suddenly in your head. You're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I know with my knitting classes did help a lot because I was doing a lot of stuff wrong because I taught myself wrong. Uh-huh. And then I did go to some classes, and classes with knitting helped me a lot.
Now,
but
see,
knitting's a whole different thing.
That's different. See, I can see that. Now, for me, if I gave a rip about knitting, I would take a class.
Uh-huh.
Because I think that's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, knitting, I definitely needed classes. Crochet, I could figure out on my own, no problem.
Yeah.
But knitting was a whole different beast for me.
Because you're working two needles against yarn.
Two needles, your yarn in your hands, and sometimes it's two yarns and two needles,
or
three yarns. And
right, and that's where, so you need some guidance so you don't end up in a big ball.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but for needlework, where, you know, at its very basic, you're going down one and up two, or up one and down two, I guess it is, you can pretty much figure that out with some good diagrams and, you know, a good picture of what it's going to look like. To me, you can figure that out.
Which is kind of what I've always done for needlework stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So but then those classes, you know, that's the thing. And of course we got to be careful because for a lot of people, it's the classes that are all the difference.
Right. I mean, everybody learns differently.
Right.
So it depends on your learning style. I don't necessarily need a person to show me. I'm pretty good at figuring out diagrams. But not everybody has that.
Right.
And they need somebody to show them. And like with knitting, with me, I need somebody to show me. All the words and diagrams in the world just aren't helping.
Yep.
So.
Yep. But
embroidery
you can,
and stuff, I'm pretty good. So.
Yeah. because you can see that in the few classes I've been. There are people who just sit down and they just enjoy being in the company of other needleworkers, and they just sit down and just start doing the project. And then there are people for whom everything, they have to be shown everything, whether they're beginner, intermediate, whatever, they need to be shown, and that's the way they learn. And you know, invariably they will get it and go on. For me, just give me a good book. I'll figure it out.
But like with Tamari, when we go to Tamari class, if I haven't done it a while, I sit down and I look at it and it's like, I know what to do, but sometimes my first step, I get stuck.
Yeah.
And then the teacher comes over and I'm like, I know. Do I do this? Do I do that? And she's like, you do it this way. I'm like, oh yeah. And then it suddenly clicks and I remember and I'm off to go. But I need her to like remind me what the first step or what it, cause I'll, it's like, I feel like I know what to do, but I'm missing something.
Yeah. Tamari strikes me.
I haven't done it in a while. Yeah,
Tamari strikes me as something that you really need to do on an ongoing basis. Is that?
Yeah, I kind of think so.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It would help, and you'd get much more proficient, and then you'd be more confident interpreting your own stuff too.
Mm-hmm. But isn't like it? I mean, it just strikes me as even just wrapping the base layers, that if you're doing it consistently, you get a better product rather than I haven't done it in six months, but what's the big deal? I'm just wrapping thread.
Probably. And if you're in a hurry, I mean, it's not that hard, the wrapping part, but you've got to be able to make it into a circle,
like
a really well-rounded circle and not lumpy.
Well, but that's just it. Yeah. And that's where constantly doing it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely would
makes
help.
A difference, yeah. Because if that is, it's like any foundational thing. If that isn't right, from what little I know about Tamari, the rest of it's just some work.
Yeah, like there's this one lady in our group that she does. She loves Tamari, and she does so much. And she started doing eggs. You should see these eggs. Eggs like Easter eggs.
Tamari on eggs?
Oh my God, she has done some beautiful stuff. And she just kind of like, she's done so much of the regular that she felt comfortable enough to interpret it on her own under the oval egg shape. And it is amazing.
Wow.
The stuff she's made is amazing. We do the classes at her house right now. And we didn't have one in July, but I went to the one in June. And I saw her thing with all her eggs. And I was like, oh my goodness.
Holy smokes. Okay, all right, so now I got to know. It's not just chicken eggs. She must be getting, like, ostrich or something like that.
No, they're like styrofoam eggs. You know, you start with a styrofoam ball, and, you know, they're not real eggs. Just like.
Oh, see, I jumped to the conclusion that she emptied out the shells and did it.
Oh, dear, no. You'd crack the shell because you're sewing on it.
Oh, that's right.
No.
Yeah, all right, I'm an idiot. Okay.
We're not painting here.
But even so, the shape, wow.
Yeah, because she's working with the shape, and she'll have put these special trims in certain areas, and she puts beads on, and it's just like, wow, look what you've done.
So then that suggests, if you can do it on an egg, that suggests that any kind of a rounded shape.
That probably any kind of shape at all, really.
Yeah, you could get it to work.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, she's done some. I mean, I've seen some on eggs around Easter time. You know, I follow a Tamari hashtag. And so I'll see some eggs, and they're pretty. But what she's done is gorgeous.
Mm.
So.
Okay. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and see, you know, to legitimize myself here, on eggs, actual eggs, you know, several years ago, Mary Corbett actually went through a whole series of of stitching on eggs. So, you know, I'm not nuts.
Right. Or did she stitch around or she put
No,
the
she
stuff
drilled
on
holes.
The egg?
She drilled holes.
Drill
yeah.
Holes?
She was putting holes in and
cuz I remember that. I don't remember the hole drilling part. Holy smokes.
Yeah, no, she was doing it. So, I'm not nuts, you know, but
Right. Okay. No, this is, you know, Tamari, you have to pull stuff tight and stuff. A lot of pressure.
Yeah. Okay.
It would crumple it.
But still, the shape, I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, she's done some beautiful ones.
Just when you think you've seen everything, there's always somebody with something else. Yep.
Yeah, because, I mean, she loves Tamari. Like, she has so many. That's her thing.
Yeah. Well, that's to me, the tamari balls, they're amazing to me. I really am going to try one day. But the basket on the coffee table with a bunch of tamari balls, I don't think there's too many things can get in the ball game with that.
Yeah. Be very pretty.
Yep. Cool stuff.
Yeah. She has huge, like, you know, those huge glass containers that are like 2 or 3 feet tall.
Oh.
That you sit on the floor and you're supposed to put flowers, and she has them filled with tamari eggs.
Wow.
And tamari balls. And I'm just like, and they're just all over the place. Like, oh my gosh, look at them all. Wow.
Yeah, interior decorating no one else can get. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, most of the stuff in my house, like, there are a few, like, purchased decorative items, but most of it is stuff I've made.
Is it? Yeah.
I mean, I have the first thing I made in sewing class when I was 12. Was I 13? 12, 13. On the wall right now. It's a gingerbread man.
Oh.
That has rickrack around it, and he's stuffed, and he has, you know, buttons for eyes and buttons down the middle and the buttons down the, and he's on the wall.
Okay.
Even though it's not Christmas, he's on the wall, and I made him when I was 12.
All right.
In sewing class at school. And he's cute.
Okay. Yep.
Yep.
All right. I think we'll call it there.
All right.
I do. So join us tonight, Kathy Ray, Thread Talk, 8 o'clock on the YouTube channel. Cindy Gershon is Sunday, and that's all about what judges look for, how they judge, and what you can learn from it. And then next Wednesday, Cindy will be back live on the Stitch Hour to show us some things. So lots of good stuff coming up.
Very cool.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Thanks. Bye.